the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Fun show. A lot of NFL. We'll get to more of that coming up here in a minute. Today's Major League Baseball card in about 15. And Paul Stone's going to preview the MAC with his best bets coming up in 30 minutes. Our best bets as well in 45 here. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard live in Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. So this is what I was talking about where, look, these books might be different. Finding this specific market is kind of a challenge, but I know a lot of offshore books offer it. So their pecking order of how they put these coaches with the odds might be a little bit different. But I saw there was somebody kicking around Dan Quinn 12-1, first coach fired. Like, that's an incredible bet, right?
Interesting.
And you can always tweet the show at VSiN Live and Mitch Moss Radio at Pauly Howard.
Is it fired or how's it worded? Because remember, we had the Urban Meyer, we had the John Gruden. Is it resign coming there to play?
I'm going to. Clicking on the link right now. I have the release on this. And by the way, on X, my guys in the desert said this in the previous segment. Don't overlook Washington for worst record. New offensive and defensive coordinators and a lot of other negatives. It's simply said first coach fired.
Okay.
So they were kicking around. I forgot where I saw it, but Dan Quinn 12-1. He's a short shot. He's 3-1 now to be the first coach fired this year.
Get out of here.
He is ahead of Todd Bowles in Tampa, plus 350. Aaron Glenn with the Jets is 4-1. Zach Taylor, 9-1. And Steichen is also at that same. Sirianni's 14-1.
No.
First coach fired. To me, I would look at Aaron Glenn. Because if there's like no signs of improvement there.
Come on. Who led the league in interceptions last year? So what do you think Geno's going to do, right?
I know this. Their defense didn't.
Uh-huh.
Is it possible that Geno could throw 25 INTs this year and the Jets would have none on defense again?
Right.
So
no, but that's your case. Geno's awful and they look like they're a start 0-6 or something. But
I thought that was pretty interesting though, man. All of a sudden down to 3-1 on him for Quinn. So here are some.
That's a great market.
Oh, I love that market.
It is phenomenal.
I wish it was available at like more national books.
It's fun to kick around about other candidates, right? And who could, and when would that? Well, like when is the first firing going to occur, though?
Mm-hmm.
That's the other one that it's hard to figure out.
Okay, so some angles for preseason week two. What about if a team got clubbed in week one? Right,
plenty of those.
Sure. So teams that lost by double digits. And they are a dog the next week, 21-14 ATS. Yeah. Last 35 games. Okay. You have the Texans, the Raiders, the Packers, the Panthers, the Browns, the Falcons, Dolphins, Eagles, and Seahawks all lost by at least 10 points last week. Now, if you won by 10...
Did you see Quinn Ewers? There's another one. Wait, he was 1-9?
Yeah. Bad numbers. Really, really bad numbers.
They go right down the field with Willis, and then they can't do anything the rest of the game. It was putrid.
Yeah. I think the Dolphins, actually, on offense, will be okay with Willis, right, scoring points.
I think Chernoff's right, though. I think the defense is so bad. They're going to be playing catch-up, and that's not what they want, a recipe for disaster for Willis.
Yeah.
It's not how they want to play.
So if you won by 10-plus, and you're favored again the next week, ATS... 19-17-1, no good, but straight up 25-11-1 just to win the game.
Okay.
Pretty good there. And if you're just coming off a loss and you're favored in the next game, straight up you're 21-12-1, but ATS 17-17. So you'd want to bet them just to win the game there.
Okay.
If both teams are coming off of a win, you have a couple games, Ravens, Vikings, Bears, Bengals. The favorite in that next game, 24-12 straight up, 21-15 against the spread. A lot of good numbers there. Just maybe factor it into your handicapping for this week. And, you know, obviously when it goes into the news as well. Oh, another
great
tweet.
Stuff. A big deal or no big deal? Ty Simpson, 21-25.
No, I
Buck
can't.
92 scores.
I also might be biased about how much I hated the pick overall.
Yeah.
But I would say not a big deal. You?
Interesting.
He's got
from the injury standpoint. If something happens to Stafford, yeah.
Well, I know this. But, if Stafford were to get hurt, Ty Simpson suddenly becomes like the short shot to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Right. So maybe you want to have a little bit of him in pocket. It's also intriguing. Like, what if Rodgers gets hurt? Who's the next guy up for Pittsburgh?
Good question. Because it's not Tomlin anymore. So is McCarthy going to be loyal to Rudolph and what they could do? I can't imagine they're carrying four quarterbacks.
Oh, they won't do that.
You can't do that, right?
No.
But why is Justin Fields still in the league? That's another one, too.
Why is he a backup?
I know.
Yeah. So Aller is between like 80 and 100 to 1 for rookie of the year.
I could certainly see him getting hurt. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, of course.
He can't move anymore.
No, he's statue back there.
Yeah, and you saw the Texans playoff game where they almost killed him.
Right.
So that's not bad. I don't know the answer to that question. It's Will Howard, the guy.
That's the thing, right?
I don't know.
He might actually be the guy that would get the run then there. But, I mean, I don't even know what the number is on Ty Simpson to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, it's got to be triple digits, I would think. But where do you think if Stafford... Like last year, we thought the back, it's going to be a thing. It was never a thing. He won the MVP. Should have won the Super Bowl. But if he got hurt this year, Ty Simpson would go from, I'm going to presume here for a second, he's 100 to 1, maybe 200 to 1 right now to win. What does he go to, 5 to 1? With McVay and the number one power rated team in the league? I don't know. Maybe that's something to have.
He's 60 to 1 at DK, Ty Simpson.
That's it?
Yeah.
No, you would need more than that.
Well, how about the timing, though? Kid just looked great, but that's
yeah.
I would be
it's a good point
too. Yes,
I wasn't paying attention to any of that because I want nothing to do with the guy. But
it's dribbling down to 17 to 1.
Is that still bettable?
I think so. Yeah, but there's some better numbers available. But I'm with Nick. Love, no way. When is Mendoza going to get in there?
Late October.
Tate plus 550, no way. Tyson plus 750, no way.
Why not Tate?
Cam Ward sucks. I've seen him.
Oh, wow.
He's not good. His decision-making's atrocious. I saw the same crap again Thursday. Nonchalant. Not good.
That should have been, I don't want to overreact, but.
No.
He did have, that one decision that I saw was absolutely horrible.
Can't get there.
I'm trying to find, the number on Stribling now, if you want to get down. I'm looking at one book as we speak. He's down to plus 750 to lead rookies in receiving yards.
While you were out, Charch made an unbelievable case for Denzel Boston. Touchdowns and season stats and everything that he thinks that's something to keep an eye on too. But that's really moved based on the hype machine and what people are saying and how well he looked in the 49ers game. 7 catches. Come on.
Well, I know.
And not to mention all the injuries, too.
Well, and Purdy is really good at playing quarterback. Kyle Shanahan, elite play caller. And if he's just, I mean, the Pearsall thing, that was really when you wanted to get on Stribling, obviously, for props.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everybody else who gets injured as well. Like, what if I told you Kittle misses like 8 games this year? Nobody in the world would be surprised by that.
Right.
Probably expect it, right?
Sure.
So he might, is he going to be the number one? Can we say this already? He's going to have the most targets on the 49ers if he stays healthy?
It's in play. Yeah. Well, you better gobble up the 17 to 1 then is what you're saying. You're seeing a 7 to 1, and I'm seeing a 12 to 1 at Caesars. Holy cow.
Yeah.
It was 33 just not that long ago. Got to take that. Boston's 30 to 1. Charch made a great case for him.
Okay.
That's good.
The overall offensive rookie of the year thing, you know, maybe that's, I'll look around too, see what Simpson might be at.
Yeah, it's also, that's the thing about these wide receivers though. And why it's not even like McMillan had a good year.
No, he did not.
And he won it? It's outrageous.
I mean, if Egbuka.
I know, he would have ran away with it.
No, he was, he was odds on.
Right, the injuries and then Mayfield, imploded. It was playing with an injury.
That's right.
And how bad that ended. But he was going to put up sick numbers if that continued.
I think that this year, and McMillan was never like a big number to win last year because he was a top 10 pick, but I think this year is worth taking flyers on guys down the board because, first of all, I don't really love the class. I don't know a lot of people who do. And to your point, I was kind of teasing you about Carnell Tate. Maybe Cam Ward is a joke. Maybe you're right with that. Maybe he is no good. Right. And then it's kind of like throwing darts at the board right now. Tyson's already hurt. Lemon was a popular bet as soon as the draft was done because there's going to be no more AJ Brown. But Jalen Hurts, what if he is a terrible passer?
Perhaps.
He puts up good numbers because of the talent around him. Also good rushing quarterback, but he's not a good passer overall. So maybe you just take a couple of guys that are way down the board like a Simpson, like an Eller, and you hope all hell breaks loose. They get in, and then you're like that 1 year Davis Mills I thought was live for Houston. You have no idea which way this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we were on the air doing mornings, and I said, you know what? Bill Belichick is talking pretty highly about Mac Jones, and he looked good in a preseason game. Cam Newton was supposed to be the starting quarterback. I'm like, I'm betting Mac Jones 10-1.
Uh-huh.
As soon as we got off the air, Belichick announced Mac Jones was the starting quarterback. He was minus 500 late in the season before Chase absolutely exploded and won the award. And I've always said I want to have like backup quarterbacks as part of my portfolio. If an injury happens, then boom, you're sitting pretty potentially.
Yep. Every year we do the who's going to go worst to first, because it happens almost every year. DraftKings has it, yes, minus $2. I want to see who offers first to worst. That's a great market.
Yep.
Give me the other one, which had happened a couple years ago with San Francisco.
That's right.
But your candidates are the Jets, Browns, Titans, Raiders, Giants, Lions, Saints, Arizona.
Well, they'd be
minus $2, though.
Have you ever seen a team at 100-1 to win their division in the NFL like the Cardinals are? I think that has to be the highest number.
I think you're right.
That I can recall.
I think so. That is something.
Just to win
that
the
division. That is staggering. Right. Right. And the Rams down to 5-1 at Caesars to win the Super Bowl.
They were plus 450 here at Circle over the weekend.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's right. You were in the draft.
Yeah. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Who went first?
That answer will surprise you and the audience. I'll tell it to you coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So how long, Paul, do you know how many years Derek Stevens and Mike Palmley have been putting on these blackjack tournaments?
Four? Five?
Is it that long now? So they invite their biggest players here, sports bettors, blackjack, you name it. Good customers, right? And they have the annual football tournament. There's one around the All-Star break in baseball, and then a March Madness one as well. And so... And 32 people, well, 31, because one person never showed up. So only 31 teams were selected. Guess which team did not get selected, by the way?
Miami.
Yeah, the Jets.
Okay.
Only team that did not. So
the funny stories from last year, though, that the people didn't do well in the tournament, and like four people didn't show up. So a host had to draft for one of them, and a guy said, well, okay, well, still late in the draft, New England still, I'll take the Patriots.
Yep.
And the guy makes the Super Bowl and almost wins it.
Craziness. So it for those who don't know, you play the blackjack tournament. It's a three-day event, and it's a lot of fun. And then it depends on, obviously, the pecking order of the chip count where you're going to be drafting. And once one team is selected, you can't take them again.
Did you meet the new gal on the staff? Her title is Director of Fun?
I did. That's great.
I saw her Friday.
Love that title.
Yeah.
So how about this, by the way? The person... who won the tournament, right? Won the blackjack tournament. He set an all-time round record. Any round in the history of the blackjack tournament here at Circa, you get 5,000 chips at the beginning, right? And you can play between $100 all the way up to 5,000. You can't play any more than 5,000. That's
right,
it.
Right.
52,000 in his first round. So you get
in a round?
Think about this, Paul.
What the hell?
He got
run the shoe?
Yeah. You get 21 hands. He went, his first bet was 3,000, he won it. His second bet was 3,000, he won that. Then he started going 5,000 a hand. He lost two hands. He remembers. He lost hand number 6, and I think it was hand number 13. 7 blackjacks, from what I was told, and 21 hands. He ran 5,000 chips up to 52,000. He told Mike Palmer, see you Saturday. He did not have to show up for the rest of the tournament. He won.
Oh, my God.
He did
I'll
show.
I'll see you Saturday.
He showed up on Friday. He busted immediately. Doesn't matter.
Sure.
He won the whole thing. So
we'll show something similar to that tomorrow. Where this guy ran a shoe and he taped it, filmed it. We'll show it tomorrow.
Incredible. I had never heard of anything like that before. I had horrible cards for three rounds. Horrible.
Yeah.
But
what'd he take?
He was saying the whole time, I'm not taking the Rams. He did not take the Rams. Who would you take if it wasn't the Rams? It's a, by the way, so with that, Christopher was his... prize was a $12,000 bet on any team to win the Super Bowl because he was picking first overall. Second prize was from Mark.
Set of steak knives.
Yeah, $10,000 free bet from him.
I probably would have, Denver?
They went very high.
Good price?
He took a team at 20-1 first.
Okay.
Took the Patriots.
With the number one pick?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
With a tough schedule? Ooh. Okay.
So Mark, also from Wisconsin, took Denver number two. A $10,000 free bet at plus 1450 on the Broncos.
Okay, good luck.
The Rams went third overall.
At plus 450?
Correct. It's an $8,000 bet for Troy at plus 450. Then the Bills went fourth.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers fifth. Eagles, Ravens, Lions.
That's private plane Wayne.
Oh,
wanted the Ravens, but the Lions fell to him. He took the Lions. Okay. Yep.
The Seahawks went ninth overall. Texans 10th. A local took the Raiders 11th overall at 87-1.
Come on, man.
So I was picking 18th. I was top 8, top 10 the entire weekend until the final round. I'm not going to get into details. Let's just say I witnessed some of the most insane stuff I've ever seen by a blackjack player at my tournament right in front of me. And that's the reason why I got. So I was picking 18th. The Bengals, the Packers and the Cowboys were still on the board. And I said, if the Bengals are there, I'm probably going to take them. However, I met Jeff from Tucson. Great dude. Has listened to Follow the Money since like day one. Cowboys fan. And so I asked him if he wanted to partner up on this. So I said, okay, maybe if I don't take the Cowboys, he was picking 22nd. I said, maybe they'll still be there for you. So I took the Saints at 100-1. Now, remember your story about the Patriots going bottom four last year, made the Super Bowl. 2 years ago, Washington, I believe, went 27th.
Right.
NFC title game. Yeah. The year before that, Texans. Throughout rookie year.
I had a piece of them.
Right,
yes.
Like 27th, 28th.
I won a playoff game. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
So
250-1.
I make the playoffs. Welcome to the party, pal.
Right.
So anyway, I got the Saints, and then Jeff and I teamed up. He's got the Cowboys, and that's hopefully we get a Cowboys-Saints NFC title game.
The Bengals were still on the board?
Yeah. No, they went one before me.
Who was the other team you mentioned?
Packers.
Packers were still on the board?
Yeah, they went 19th overall.
Oh, wow.
I want nothing to do with Green Bay. So I wanted to go. Yeah.
Good
anyway.
Fun. All right.
Yeah.
So good fun.
There's that.
Excellent. Raiders 11th. God.
Yeah, if you've never, like you used to say this all the time, Paul, like if you're a big player, you gotta come here and play. I mean, it's incredible to be a part of these blackjack tournaments.
No doubt. They'll do another one in December.
Yep.
1-0 Baltimore in the second inning, trying to sweep four games from the race. That is Young, who is top 5 in ROI, and McClanahan made his first start since July 30th.
Yep.
Baltimore, even though they're under 500, would be your final wild card in the American League.
How improbable would that be?
No kidding. And St. Louis, this is a 5-game series. Game 1 of a doubleheader, beat the Reds 2-1. Cardinals have won 10 of 14.
Could they be a playoff team?
I think I would say too far back.
Not enough of a runway.
But that's what I said about Toronto, too.
Well, look at this all of a sudden now.
No one wants it. St. Louis, difficult schedule. Where are they? I think they were like 5-6 teams ahead of them. But that's a great race because it's Arizona, Philly, and San Diego. And obviously someone's going home.
All right.
Out of the three.
Imagine it's Philly.
That could be. No kidding. So that starts a big – they go in 20 minutes. It's Sanchez, and they're 9 games over 500, the big sweep against the Twins. Did you like the Field of Dreams? I know you love the movie.
I like the result from the Field of Dreams game. That was a good one.
Sure, we're going deep twice, but Sanchez at home, cheat code. Number one, he's got a ERA under 1 career against Miami in his home starts. 10-1 with a 1-4-1 and 14 starts. 260 in that range, $1.20 on the run line. Harper has owned junk. Hitting 600 career against them. But it's possible because their record is so bad when it's the big three don't pitch. And San Diego's hot, and you have to respect Arizona. So we also, maybe this Cardinal organization figures it out and they turn into a sweat. You never know.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, by the way. You could probably fill in the blank with any team that's going to be the 6th seed in the American League. Do you think we're going to get one human being for that team? To, like, make a case that they're going to win. There's no chance.
No. Let's see if they even have a winning record.
Right. That and maybe the value would be there to actually bet on them, because baseball can be so random.
Happened one year with St. Louis. Weren't they in the high 80s for their wins when they won the World Series?
Yeah, that was 2011. I think they were 9 out in September, and they went on that crazy run. And that was all-time epic World Series against the Rangers.
Well, here's where I'm at with the Blue Jays, and I said this on air. If they survived this stretch where it was 13 in a row against AL East teams, then they had a chance to do something. So they won that series against the Yankees, and they took 3 out of 4 from Boston. So it's at Tampa and then at New York to finish this off, and they're catching Tampa at the right time. So here's what's behind it, though. Kansas City, Seattle, Cleveland, Kansas City, A's, Detroit, Texas, Baltimore.
Wow.
Doable.
Okay.
It's doable, especially with all these other teams under 500.
You got my attention
if they
now.
Keep that up, right? Maybe they can pull this off.
Let me point this out for tomorrow. We have a doozy of a Malinsky special, a team that's been on the road.
Right, and I think they're going to throw Rodon against them, too. They're going to activate Rodon again.
Are they?
Yeah, Yankees.
So the Orioles are, as you said, they're up right now, 1-0. This is in Tampa. This is the final game of a 10-game road trip. They do not have an off day tomorrow. They quick flight home to Baltimore from Tampa, whatever that is, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever. Yankees tomorrow at home. No day off.
Big one. Yep.
So that's definitely one to circle tomorrow.
Ozzie sent a text in. Was Scatterboo going to win if he didn't get hurt, you think?
Oh, possibly. Yeah, that could have happened.
The 3-touchdown game on the Thursday night win. But
yeah, huge numbers on him.
The record was poor, but yeah. No, that was in play.
He was putting up great numbers.
He was. Yeah, and he was the go-to guy, too. All right, 2 weeks away from college football. Can you believe it? 6 games, I think, that day. Get the college football betting guide free with VSiN Pro. Preview every team, humans and stones. Top 10 rankings, best bets, ton of win totals in there. And with VSiN Pro, we get the NFL betting guide as well and the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide. Real-time betting splits, 24/7 video on the Watch app. Try it today, just $9.99. Lock in a full year, save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual subscription. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get there now, VSiN.com/subscribe.
Yeah, week 0 looming. We'll get into college football coming up next. Professional bettor Paul Stone's going to join the program. He has an outright winner in the MAC, a regular season win total, and a very creative way to bet the league as a whole. Find out that market next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So close, you can smell it.
Yeah.
Miss your musk. Go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Professional bettor Paul Stone joins the program now. He's been popping on once a week throughout the summer to preview every conference in college football with some best bets. Paul, good to talk to you again, my friend. How are you?
Doing good, guys. I mean, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, but my anticipation and enthusiasm for a new season never wanes. Always just as excited as I was in the beginning. So great time of the year for us.
Well said. It's like kids on Christmas week, basically. Let's begin. Okay, so the final conference here is the MAC. Overall, the team, the number, in your opinion, that is worthy of a bet?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at it, you look at the outright markets, I think it looks like a 3-horse race, in my opinion. You've got, of course, defending champion Western Michigan. You've got Miami, and then you've got Toledo. But Toledo, they've got some substantial personnel losses, plus they're replacing their head coach. They're replacing both coordinators. So I think it's going to come down to a 2-horse race between Western Michigan and Miami. These two teams actually met in the MAC championship game in Detroit last year. Western Michigan won that game 23-13. And they're going to be a real strong possibility to repeat. I mean, they do return their quarterback, Brock Lowry, probably the best quarterback in the league, a dual threat guy, rushed for almost 1,000 yards last year. Also returned their 1,000-yard rusher, Jalen Buckley. But they were a big-time defense last year. As much as their offense kind of got the headlines, they depended on a defense that only gave up 14.5 points a game in MAC games, so very good defensively. but they lose 8 starters off that defense. So I'm going to look down the sheet just a tad, and they might even be the betting favorite at some stores. But Miami, a team that plays great defense year in and year out, they're a team that's looking for a new quarterback. They played 3 quarterbacks actually last year, had lukewarm results. They only threw for a little over 7 yards per pass attempt, which is, you know, so-so. They threw 17 touchdowns, but 11 interceptions collectively, so not very good in that category. But they have been really consistent under 13th year head coach Chuck Martin. They're a team that, again, whoever their quarterback turns out to be, I don't think they're necessarily going to get a regression at that position. I would expect the play to actually be better. But again, under Martin, this is a team that is looking to qualify for their 4th straight MAC championship game. They actually won the title back in 2023. Over their last 75 MAC games, they are 55-20 straight up, a winning percentage of 73%, the highest of any team in the league over that period. Defense, again, is going to be their calling card. They did lose, as happens in today's college football, their top defensive end, Adam Trick. He left literally for the greener pastures of Lubbock, Texas, and Texas Tech University. He'll be difficult to replace. But still, even without Trick, they return 11 of their top 19 tacklers. They're a team that is going to miss Toledo on the schedule. They're going to host Ohio. So lock the schedule. I'll take Miami of Ohio plus 370 available today at Circa Resort and Casino.
All right, my friend, how about a win total? And the bar is low, 3.5. 2 years ago, they didn't win a game. What say you with Kent State?
Yeah, I'll admit, you know, you got to admit up front, Paulie, that a man's a lot closer to the outhouse than the penthouse if he's been betting Kent State overs on regular season win totals the last decade. This is not the way to get back to the window. But last year, the Golden Flashes, they won 3 of their last 5 games, ended up finishing 4-4 in MAC play. They were 5-7 overall. And that improvement was largely due to the play of their quarterback, Drew DeShields. He's a guy who threw 19 touchdowns, actually threw 18 touchdowns against only 3 interceptions. A guy who many expected might explore the transfer portal, but he announced in late December that he was coming back to Kent State, and that was just an immense pickup for them to keep Drew DeShields. He only has 9 career starts, so you'd expect him to be better in year 2 than he was in his first season as a starter. He can run the ball effectively as well. They didn't run him a whole lot last year because he's had some ACL injuries in the past. But he was healthy last year. He's back for his 2nd year as a starter. And his return just provides great optimism for Kent to perhaps gain bowl eligibility, which they would need to obviously go 6-6 to reach that standard. You got to look at their schedule. They do have a very tough non-conference schedule. They go to South Carolina. They go to Ohio State. They also go to South Florida a little bit later in the year. I think the game that will get them over the hump, the most critical game on their schedule, not as far as whether it's a successful season or a unsuccessful season, but as far as the regular season win total, most critical game is their 2nd game when they host Wofford of the FCS. Wofford's a team that went 6-6 last year at the FCS level. They are replacing their quarterback, though, and they are picked 7th out of 10 teams in the Southern Conference. I project Kent State to be about a 6.5-point favorite in that game. They actually have 6 games with a point spread projected of 6.5 or lower, 4 of those with a point spread of 4 points or lower. So a lot of games that could be hotly contested. If Kent does beat Wofford in week 2, they would only need to go 3-5 in conference play to get to 4-8 and get to that over. They get Ball State and Akron, 2 teams picked at the bottom of the league at home. They also travel to FBS newcomer Sacramento State. That game will be about a pick 'em. I think this Kent State's got a chance to get bowl eligible. I like them to win at least 4 games. Kent State over 3.5 regular season wins, modestly juiced, -105 available today at both DraftKings and BetMGM.
Great breakdown. Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Paul Stone, our guest professional bettor. Follow him on X at Paul Stone Sports. Last bet here in the MAC. You did this with the Pac-12. I loved it. The fact that you found it, how you broke it down. You're going to do the same thing here, but it's total MAC teams to win six or more regular season games. Take it away here, Paul.
Yeah, and it's heavily juiced to the under, like the Pac-12 prop was as well. You've got a 13-team league, and this prop, again, is MAC teams total to win six games or more, the total being 7.5, heavily juiced in the under at minus 185 at BetMGM, the over at plus 140. You know, first of all, you know, I'll start out by saying this prop will probably land on seven or eight teams. I hope it lands on six to have a little bit of comfort there. But it's going to land probably on seven or eight teams. And the reason is probably obvious to many of our viewers and listeners. It's just based on the fact that they play eight conference games and four non-conference games. And those eight conference games played by those 13 league members, any way you slice it, those games are going to end up with 52 victories and 52 losses. So it's a zero-sum game. The conference games are going to average four wins a team, and that's just the way the math works on that. So while we don't ignore the team's conference schedules, we do certainly look much more closely at the non-conference schedules. 11 of the league's 13 members play one FCS team. Two of the members, actually Buffalo and UMass, play two FC opponents. So everybody plays at least one. You look at the schedule, you know, looking at some, I kind of started my handicap here by looking, you know, obviously at the non-conference schedule of all 13 teams, and I identified the teams that I thought would win five or fewer games and looked again heavily at that non-conference schedule. They've got to play some money games. You know, they got to get some checks, keep the lights on, keep the buses running. So they play some pretty tough opponents. You look at Akron, picked to finish in the second division, at Wake Forest, at Minnesota in the non-conference, play UNLV at home. They're going 1-3 in conference. I don't think they're winning six. Ball, kind of the same thing. They play at Ohio State, at Liberty, at Northwestern. They're starting out 1-3. I don't think they're getting to six. Bowling Green might not win a non-conference game. They start out by hosting FCS Tarleton, who had a really, really big season last year, currently favored by 2.5 over Tarleton. But other than that, they go to Nebraska and Iowa State and play South Florida at home. They're not getting to six wins. UMass is 0-23 the last 2 years versus FBS teams, 2-43 the last 4 years versus FBS teams. They're not getting the six wins in any world. Sacramento State, first-year FBS member, I don't think they're getting the six wins. Comes down to Kent pretty much. If Kent does beat Wofford, so I'm kind of going both ways here. If Kent beats Wofford, they go 1-3 in non-conference. They would have to go 5-3 still in conference to get to 6-6. That could happen. And even if it does happen, we've got some wiggle room. Eastern Michigan and Central Michigan, if you look at their schedules, they're not automatic six-win teams. So I like the under. Again, it's heavily juiced, but under 7.5 teams in the MAC to reach six wins or more, juiced at minus 185, available today at BetMGM.
Exquisite breakdown as always. Follow him on X at Paul Stone Sports. Thank you, my friend. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'll see you guys next Thursday. Hopefully y'all have a great great week, and we'll see you soon.
Back at you. Joined us here on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll close up shop, put a bow on this bad boy. Fun show. Easy to dance to, I'd say. We had about a 93 today. Best bets coming up.
I got goosebumps. Some tough beats and a horrible performance over the weekend. I got hooked in the Fever game. Oh, did you see that? It was...
Oh, I had...
Oh, my God. It was 17-15 in the first quarter. I couldn't believe it. 98-88 final. Beckers and Clark both had 29.
I lost that game as well.
I couldn't believe it. And that is 14 straight unders in the WNBA. No show by the Browns.
Horrible. Exploded in the second half.
It did, yeah. But that's what it should have been.
Of course.
I mean, because the Fever are number one in offense. And they don't guard anybody. And Melton was human as they lost 4-3 on Saturday. He had a bad start and lost that one. So all about Stripling here. And some good bets to be made. Good job by Whalen giving this out as well. But it was a great breakdown. Most yards for a rookie, 12-1. An offensive rookie of the year, 17-1. It's on the move big time. Try to grab it and lock that in. Who could be the number one wide receiver in San Francisco? And this Walker Buehler stuff, this cannot continue. This getting so much run support. Mets are hot. They've won 9-12. Mets team total over 3.5. Let's go. And I'm excited to get to this breaking news when you're done.
Well, we got multiple news items to get to. Okay, so this goes back pre-vacation. Valkyries, oh yeah, plus 1.5 against the Wings. That was a winner. I do remember the Padres game, lost against the Astros. I don't think they really had a chance in that game. We went around the world there,
yeah,
with the Lynx against the Aces. First quarter, first half, full game, got there. I think that was the game that Miles hit the buzzer.
From half court. Yeah. You had it the whole way.
Rocking chair there for all of them,
yes,
no doubt.
Elegance.
Those are the greatest. So here's what I've done now. Because look,
wow.
I think the Cardinals are a total over team this year. So what I've done, I'm looking for the right opponent. I'm not going to play every game, but the right opponent, good conditions. Like, I'm not going to play them if they had like a game outdoors in December on the road. Not going to do that, right? Not going to get involved. But I'm playing the Arizona Cardinals totals over as of right now, 3 games. These are available at multiple books. Week 5 against Detroit has all the makings, over 48.5. Week 8, Cardinals Cowboys over 49.5. That game might be in the 40s for both teams. And Cardinals Saints week 16 over 43.5. I like it. By the way, let me get this breaking news on the Saints.
Yeah, yeah.
Their rookie receiver, Jordan Tyson, expected now to miss about 2 months with that hammy that he suffered last week.
Wow.
Another guy you can cross off of betting rookie of the year.
Let's go. More Stripling. Eat. Football season's here. And the sharp places on top of it. They reach out to over 500 bettors and sources worldwide across all sports. Send it out to subscribers in real time. Thousands of sharp bettors and pro syndicates tracked in real time before the markets move with exclusive data feeds from 4 major books filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. Every play log going back to 2011, the daily Mr. Poison tweets. Been with Follow the Money since day one. You know Jeff's great, phenomenal guest we've had on many times. And they get audited daily by their own haters. Suck it, haters. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the sharp money at sharpplays.com. They are fantastic. Okay, here's why I got goosebumps. Take it away. So with the Genie Bus news. You said this during the break.
Mm-hmm.
So a Genie Bus is saying bogus report.
Correct.
From Shams and company. Because the 5 brothers and sisters voted to sell. She's saying the vote null. No vote, not allowed, because she still has controlling shareholder. It trumps any vote. So she's saying the Bus family it did not sell. It just doesn't work. And her lawyer is getting involved here now, too, with
right.
this. So a friend of ours knows her and reached out to her. She got right back immediately with a text. And here's what she said. She goes, stay tuned, and sent the Danny Targaryen Game of Thrones meme, Mother of Dragons. This is why I got goosebumps, because in 2017, she was going at it with her brother, Jim, about trying to oust him, and what am I going to do with Kupchak, and should I take over, what do I do? She reached out to Kobe, and Kobe sent her what she sent to our friend. Kobe Bryant said, you got to be Mother of Dragons, and sent her the meme with Danny Targaryen on the ship with the fleet behind her. And she sent the exact same meme in the text to the guy we know.
Just now.
And what Kobe
sent
to her. The
same thing that Kobe sent to her.
In 2017, she reached out to Kobe for advice. What should I do? He says, you got to be the Mother of Dragons. And took over, and that's what she did.
Well, I'm here for any Kobe story.
That is great.
Any and all of it.
He urged her to make tough front office changes.
Yeah.
Fire Kupchak. Get rid of your brother. Get LeBron James. Legacy for your dad. Make this happen. And she sent the exact same meme and text back to our friend.
Okay, well, that's pretty outstanding.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. That's really good.
But stay tuned. I don't know what's going to play out. But the 5 brothers and sisters went against her with this vote to sell the remaining 17% to Iger and Kushner. Mm. But she's saying, for her lawyers, not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast, huh?
Also, now this is another one. There's a report that the NBA said there's no proof that Ballmer did any shenanigans with Kawhi Leonard.
That's right.
Now the NBA is saying, well, hold on a second. That might not be accurate. Maybe stuff will come out. What a mess.
The NBA, from what I gather, they said that the story from ESPN had a lot of, quote, inaccuracies to it.
Yeah, right. It's still, where are we on? Like 11 months of this now? 14 months of this investigation? Billable hours, sure. Lawyers cleaning up. Let's wrap this up, Janice. I mean, the season starts in 2 months.
Can you believe that? It starts in 60 days.
Yeah, come on.
For that. By the way, and one more piece of breaking news on your Stribling bet. So I'm looking right now, shopping around. There is a book, for those of you in Nevada, you need to bet this like immediately. And they did not take much from me, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Station Casinos right now, they have Stribling at 30 to 1.
Oh, really?
30 to 1.
Okay. To win.
You have to take
There's one down the street.
Just out of on principle alone, you just have to take it, even if it's a loser, because he's at Cirque, he's 13 to 1. He's 17 to 1 where you bet it, and they have 30 to 1. They didn't take a big bet, unfortunately, but maybe you can get down whatever.
Put that, all right. Go to Palace Station where they got OJ. Go check that out down the street. Thank you for that.
What do you think happened to the guy who bought the Lakers? From Jeannie Buss originally. What's the story here?
Did you read it?
I have not. I'm behind on that.
It's an unbelievable story on TheRinger.com.
It does not.
And Andrew Ross Sorkin sounded the alarms when he bought the Dodgers, how it doesn't add up. This guy is using other people's money to buy pro sports teams.
Right, right.
It's bizarre.
So he owned the Lakers for a year.
He flipped it and made $2.5 billion.
Yeah. Sure. How and then that? He also, I guess he has more teams too.
Yes, he does.
Under his portfolio, and he wants to bail on those as well. Hmm. 1-1, by the way. Rays tied it up against the Orioles.
I don't know how this is going to play out, but this is just... I don't know what it means for the Dodgers, but this is certainly where there's smoke, there's fire. What could happen? And maybe there was some money he had from other people that the NBA didn't like as well.
Right, that's right. By the way, very predictable, right, that... Silver was going to, if that actually is true, that he was going to do nothing to the Clippers?
Yeah. I see where they're coming from, where what is he, like the third richest guy in the world?
Uh-huh.
Where you're going to be getting a pissing contest with this guy and how he can lawyer up because he's adamant and the organization is adamant they haven't done anything wrong. Yep. But they also are saying maybe it doesn't mean that employees weren't doing something wrong, but where's that in the rules? What's precedent is that?
Right.
We're going to fine you, take away picks, whatever, because your employees broke the rules. I don't know. That's I don't know what rule they exactly break at that point.
Well, one observation from a vacation. Had some friends in town. We were hanging out at a bunch of casinos on the south end of the Las Vegas Strip a week ago today, actually. What a sad state of affairs. Now, I'm talking about a multi-billion dollar corporation.
Mandalay Bay?
I was there. Their pool's unbelievable. We went to the pool that day.
Well, I saw there was one of maybe some occupancy issues.
Oh, okay. The sports books on the south end of the strip by this multi-billion dollar corporation, I don't think they have put pennies into it in like the last 25 years. What are we doing?
There's a big time casino in the middle of the strip that still has the old TVs.
It's bizarre. Yeah. We went from book to book to book, walking around, right? Checking it out. Been a while since I had done that. They're like, okay, I'm just going to. How has the Bellagio not put in like 1080p or.
That's one of them. You're the Bellagio.
You're the Bellagio.
You got old TVs in here.
What are you doing?
Your sports book sucks. I know. Your sports book sucks. You're the Bellagio.
It's not, but it's a handful. They haven't updated anything in their sports book. I'm like, what is happening?
I know.
Oh.
I echo your sentiments. I texted Derek one time. He's laughing. Like, because he was in there recently.
Derek. Yeah.
Like, you're the Bellagio. Yeah. Your sports book's an embarrassment.
And it really is. Yep. Stay tuned. Primetime next. Murray Eumann is taking you through the entire live betting night, talking a lot of football as well. Good luck out there.